A major step forward in the race for a coronavirus vaccine. Drug maker Moderna began large-scale human testing today.
There is a chance then that if they get a positive result and government officials agree that it's enough to warrant, you know, starting to make the vaccine available, that initial supplies could be available by the end of the year.
And Republicans unveil their latest coronavirus relief bill. Plus, vigilantes on the hunt in New York City for rats. It's Monday, July 27th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Republicans are releasing their latest coronavirus relief bill today. It includes another round of direct payments to Americans, but it would cut the weekly unemployment supplement from $600 to $200. The goal is for workers to get up to 70% of their previous income so that people aren't discouraged from returning to their jobs. The Senate's plan would cost nearly $1 trillion. That's less than a third of the House's $3.5 trillion plan, which was released back in May. Capitol Hill reporter Andy Durin says the clock is ticking for lawmakers to reach an agreement.
The big deadline that everyone is facing is the expiration of the enhanced unemployment insurance at the end of this week. And so everyone says that they want to try and make some sort of deal by that time. It is, a very narrow time frame now that we're dealing with before Friday. So what we're going to start to see is more bipartisan negotiations, kind of shuttle diplomacy between House Democrats, Senate Republicans, and the White House. The way this has worked in the past is that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin has been kind of the go-between between some of the various parties, meeting with Speaker Pelosi and Leader McConnell and kind of going back and forth between the two. So we'll start to see more of those bipartisan discussions in the coming week. What exactly that will look like is kind of to be determined, but definitely expecting to see more closed-door meetings among some of the top party leaders.
Late civil rights leader and Georgia Congressman John Lewis is being remembered in the nation's capital today. An honor guard met Lewis's family and received his casket at Joint Base Andrews this morning, before a funeral procession through Washington and a service at the Capitol. Lewis's body will lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda and outside at the top of the Capitol's east front steps for public viewing tonight and tomorrow. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien has tested positive for the coronavirus. O'Brien is the most senior member of the Trump administration to test positive for COVID-19. Officials say it's unclear how he contracted the virus. The White House says O'Brien has mild symptoms and is self-isolating, and that there's no risk to the president or the vice president. And a dozen or more players and staff members from the Miami Marlins have also tested positive for the coronavirus just 5 days after the season opening. Major League Baseball has had to postpone 2 games originally scheduled for today, and the new infections are now raising questions about the viability of continuing the season as planned. Coming up after the break, we'll have more on Moderna's pivotal trial for a COVID-19 vaccine. Drug maker Moderna began the final stage of testing on its experimental coronavirus vaccine today with large-scale human trials. If it's successful, it would be a huge breakthrough in fighting the pandemic, and the government has been supporting the effort. Moderna received a commitment of up to $472 million in federal funding for Phase 3 testing, in addition to the $483 million it's already received. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Loftus. Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So, Peter, what exactly is involved in a Phase 3 trial? Is this really the make-or-break stage?
You could look at it like that. A Phase 3 trial is basically where they're trying to get the most definitive evidence to date about whether a vaccine is safe and effective. And the big new feature of this Phase 3 trial is that, it's going to be in a lot of people, a lot more than the early studies, up to 30,000. And they're going to look for whether the vaccine actually keeps people from coming down with COVID-19. Because the prior trials so far really were just looking at, safety and immune responses. But even seeing an immune response, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the vaccine would actually protect you from the virus.
So the big news today is that Moderna is now starting its phase three, but there are a lot of companies in this race as well as we try to get a potential vaccine here.
Right. So there's another vaccine from the University of Oxford working with AstraZeneca, and that started a big trial in the United Kingdom back in May that will include testing for whether it protects against the virus. And then that same vaccine is scheduled to start a big phase three trial in the U.S. starting in August. And then there's other vaccines that are, you know, in the lead pack, so to speak. There's a vaccine from Pfizer that's also supposed to start a big phase three study this week. And then a vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, it's a little farther behind. It's just starting its first U.S. phase one study today. And that could move into a big phase three study in September. So we've got a series of studies that are getting bigger and bigger that are designed to provide, you know, the most crucial answers in the coming weeks and months.
Peter, we're still seeing a rising number of cases in many U.S. states. Is that something that's helping or hindering efforts to test and fully vet an effective vaccine?
Well, in a way, it helps. It's a delicate situation because you don't want to say it's a good thing or that it's even a silver lining, because the rise in cases means more people are getting sick and more people are dying. But with that happening now, the way that these big vaccine studies are designed, they kind of depend upon the people who get either vaccinated or get a placebo in these studies, then going out into the world and becoming exposed to the virus. And that's the way that the researchers will know whether the people who got the vaccine come down with COVID-19 at a lower rate than the people who got the placebo. And so if you have these studies being conducted in places like Texas or even other countries where infection rates are high, then potentially you could get to those answers sooner than you would if the studies were being done at a time or in places where the spread of the virus is lower.
You also wrote about a big unknown here, and that is how long would protection from a potential vaccine last? That's a pretty tough question, as we also have questions swirling about antibodies and what the presence of those means.
Right. Right now it's a big unknown, and I think people are just looking for a lot of clues based on the early tests of some of these vaccines, what kind of immune response they elicited in the form of antibody production, and whether that rises to a certain level and then begins to decline over time, and what that might mean for whether the vaccine then could actually protect people for a significant amount of time. And so older vaccines against other diseases have a range of durability, and some are believed to last for a lifetime, while others are more near-term, or they provide shorter protection. So right now, what researchers are looking for, first of all, whether any of the COVID vaccines offer protection, because we still don't know that. And then if they do offer protection, is it going to be 6 months or a year, and therefore would require more frequent vaccinations, or could it offer protection for many years?
Peter, what can you tell us about the timeline where we may get some answers from these big companies and eventually a vaccine?
Well, with this big study starting today, some federal health officials talked about the timing issue today, and they said that it's possible that we could have an answer on whether this vaccine from Moderna is effective by about November. And that could change. It could change depending on how quickly they enroll people in the study, and then what the infection rates are in the places where it's being studied. And so it could be earlier than that, it could be later, but they think it's possible by November. And that there is a chance then that if they get a positive result and government officials agree that it's enough to warrant, you know, starting to make the vaccine available, that initial supplies could be available by the end of the year. That would be an unprecedented time frame. You know, I think it's sort of an optimistic scenario. And so there's always the possibility that things could happen during the testing or manufacturing of the vaccine that would put off those timelines, you know, into next year.
Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And finally, with fewer people out and restaurants closed, the streets and subways of New York may be a bit cleaner. But that's been bad news for the city's rats. Our reporter Stephanie Yang has been on the beat since the lockdowns.
In March and April, we had, you know, some rat experts around the city saying that they were, you know, seeing rats having to venture out further in search of food or even resorting to cannibalism as they all fought each other over what scraps were available since all of the restaurants, you know, shut down for a while and the patterns of where the garbage was being put out started changing.
Rats have started becoming more emboldened, and Stephanie tagged along with a team of vigilante rat hunters and their dogs, who are going after the rodents with a vengeance.
What we would do is go down the block and hit every single trash pile, where they would start rummaging around, and rats would flee from underneath the trash bags, and that's when the dog would chase them down. So it's this sport that's been around New York City for a long time, but not a lot of people know about it.
Officials don't recommend this. Rats can carry diseases, which they could pass on to your pets. The New York City Sanitation Department says residents should use rat-proof trash cans instead. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.